This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I don't want to be catcalled, but I do want to be dog faxed. Faxed is really hard.
Faxed?
Faxed.
That's a lot of...
Those are
not faxed, but faxed.
Yeah, faxed. It feels like there's a T in there. Whole lot of letters. I'm Brandy Posey, and it's actually Frankenberry's monster.
I'm Tess Barker, and another day, another chance to drink iced coffee and listen to Taylor Swift.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to fall. That was our fall intro.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Frankenberry iced coffees.
Yes. I fell into my sweaty balls voice as soon as you said that.
Yes. Fall. Classic.
Classic SNL. Mm-hmm. Classic SNL. I'm going to be Frankenberry for Halloween.
You are?
Yeah. It's like four of us are doing a Halloween cereals.
Oh my God. Cute. What else do we got? Count Chocula, I'm assuming.
Rick's going to be Count Chocula. And then my friend Lindsay is going to be Yummy Mummy. And my friend Lewis is going to be Booberry.
Oh.
We don't have a fruit brute, but he's like
Who's
the one
fruit
that.
Brute?
Fruit Brute is like, he was a monster cereal that was like originally around and then he disappeared and then they brought him back 2 years ago.
What does he look like? Like what kind of fruit is
he? Yeah, what kind of cereal?
He's like, he is a like cherry cereal with lime marshmallows. Yeah, he's, it's like kind of like a werewolf on the cover.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the brute. That's the brute of it.
I remember the werewolf.
Yeah. His name is Fruit Brute. I saw him at Target last year and I was like, who the hell are you?
Fruit Brute is definitely out there for the from Count Chocula to Fruit Brute.
Yeah, that's a deep cut. That's a side B.
Yeah, they also introduced a new one this year. Hold on, there's a new one. Carmella Creeper is.
It's just Johnny Depp.
Yeah, basically. It's a caramel apple cereal. She's the new. Ooh. She's the new. She looks like a Gen Z. She's got headphones on and she's like a zombie. I don't know. I don't like it.
I need it.
Like
this reminds me.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be good. But
I was at a friend's party the other night talking about one of my longtime high dreams of opening a restaurant that just serves cereal.
Mm-hmm.
All you can eat cereal. Every single kind of cereal. Every single kind of milk.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Thank Perfect. You. Sean Love texted it. Me a picture from Vegas 3 days later. It fucking exists.
Of course.
Once
Vegas
again, wow. Foiled.
Damn.
But also, I really want to go.
I know, me too. It's called Serial Killer. Let's go.
Speaking of Halloween and costumes,
yeah.
We are going to be doing a Patreon stream on Monday, October 16th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to be working on our costumes, so come work on your costume with us. Get spooky. It's going to be the perfect time. We're really going to be diving into Halloween, you know, and it's just going to be really fun.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So and if you're not a patron, sign up patreon.com/ladytolady.
Mm-hmm. Let us motivate you. But before that, oh my God, you guys, speaking of having fun and costumes, Lady to Lady has our own show on America's Funniest Home Videos.
No big deal.
Yeah. We're very fucking excited. And
and just so you know, this is not a union show. It's not. It's
unscripted.
Unscripted
variety. So
it's outside of the scope of the strike and stuff.
Yes.
So yeah, we're super excited. And you know, if you guys want to watch it, you can. It's on Pluto TV, which is like also a free app. I watch Pluto all the time. They have a channel with only unsolved mysteries. It's the best.
Oh, great.
And they have a cheaters channel. If you don't have Pluto TV, just download it anyway, but especially download it to watch our
show. To watch us.
Show.
We really want people to watch, so please watch. And like, we're really proud of it, and it's really fun. The channel on Pluto is the Always Funny channel, but we're going to link to it on our Insta.
Yeah, and it's premiering October 8th at noon Pacific time. And we're going to go on live on our Instagram during that. So make sure you're following us at Lady to Lady Comedy on Instagram. We're going to go live and talk about it while we're watching it. It's going to be really fun. But just, you know, tune in and maybe we can make more of them.
Yeah, it was super fun. And I will say we were extremely good at it.
We were very good.
Honestly.
We're very good.
Yeah.
So
honestly.
Very, very, very proud.
I don't know.
Okay, if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, think about, do you want to watch us like leading up to people falling down videos? Do you want to watch us introducing people doing stupid shit? Because that's what it is, and it's lovely.
Exactly.
Peanut butter chocolate, peanut butter jelly. We are here. great taste. The taste great together.
Yes. So, yes, October 8th at noon. Check it out. And you can see it on the Always Funny channel on Pluto at that time. So we'll also link to it on our link tree on our social media. So you can go click on there to get to the exact link. We're very excited.
Yee-hee.
Hell yeah. This episode was also super great.
Honestly,
we just have so much good news for you.
We're in a good place right now.
Yeah.
Really great place. It's just nice. Yeah, we're just doing, you know, we're just feeling really good about things.
It's fall. It's nice.
It is fall. We have a super funny guest on today. You might follow her on TikTok because she has like 2 million followers on there, which is crazy. 2 million people are watching her do shit. And she decided to come hang out with us, which is awesome. You can follow her at Actress Beck on there. And please enjoy our hang with Becca Bastos. Let's just jump in to hanging out with our guest, the very hilarious Becca Bastos. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Podcasting.
So excited. I feel like a gamer girl with my huge headphones.
Yeah.
Big mic. You're like disappeared behind your
huge
microphone.
Mic.
That's great.
Right? I'm so tiny.
It's just you, a little voice and a little microphone.
Just a little voice.
Oh my God.
And you have this white, can you paint us a picture with your white background? Where are you? What's your life?
Yeah. I just actually moved to a new apartment. This is my little office room where I film my stuff. Very important. I have a white wall. All my videos are usually just like a white wall. I have like a green screen over there. Mm-hmm. And just to paint you a picture, it's an absolute hellhole in here. Like everything
Great.
That has ever been in a box when I moved is like spewed and thrown up across the floor. So that's where we're at.
Perfect.
Right.
Oh
my God. God bless you for moving. I feel like the idea of moving is so intimidating to me that sometimes I just can't even, I'm like, I'm just going to die in the house I'm in.
It's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just gonna die here. I'm just gonna be Miss Havisham for
right?
the end of time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Miss Havisham, very misunderstood person. I mean, she was just some lady who was over her shit and just realized that she wanted to drink tea in her garden with no men.
Like, let her be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She's all I aspire to be.
Is that that's her backstory? I don't know anything about her.
It's from Great Expectations.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was a hoarder or what?
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, she was sort of the matchmaker of the couple in Great Expectations. She had this big like manor that the two young people would come over to. So she was sort of like a spinster. It's been a while since I read the book in high school.
Fun. I want to be her.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of cobwebs.
A lot of cobwebs.
That type of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, very Halloween.
I would love to be the cobweb lady who's matchmaking people. It's like, wait, why are you?
That's the thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
I see all through one milky eye.
The modern day Yenta. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I always picture the house in Great Expectations, the house where my hobbit hole was always very Great Expectations to me,
yeah.
If that gives you an idea.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a magical yeah, yeah. garden, lots of old kind of like sculptures
yeah,
with patina on them.
Tess lived in this like studio in Hollywood that was a perfect.
It felt like there were clocks and trees, but I don't know if
exactly.
there actually were.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would not have been surprised to see the Cheshire Cat just like out there at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't lock. But when I graduated fifth grade, when I was one of like
Congrats, Brandy.
Thank you so much. I was valedictorian of fifth grade, not two.
I got to
give
so a was I.
Were you? Congratulations.
Yeah, we got two valedictorians in fifth grade right here.
It's honestly really nice to talk to another one because I don't think I've ever met anyone that's identified as a fifth grade valedictorian.
Tell me everything you guys know about long division.
I got like a big letter A that all my teachers signed. I kept it in my closet for a very long time.
Wow.
But I was also one of the three kids that got chosen to, we paint, each got to paint like a drop ceiling tile. Like they picked three people in each grade. And for some reason, I painted like a weird druggy Cheshire cat that I really liked from like this catalog that my mom, I was obsessed with this picture and like I had no other like I don't think I'd ever read Alice in Wonderland at that point. I just was like, I gotta paint this red Cheshire cat on the ceiling.
Dope.
That's yeah. so funny that that was your prize.
Yeah.
Because those weird drop ceiling tile, like cheapy tile things, they're just like, yeah, we're going to let the kids paint these.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, it was up there for a real long time. I had to go back to that school for some reason, like 15 years later, and it was still in the classroom. And I was like, damn straight, I left my mark.
Whoa. Like, I don't think they remember me, fifth grade.
Our names should be scrawled on the tiles forever.
I didn't even, being a valedictorian of fifth grade, I didn't even know was a thing. How is that even?
So I went to a school, it was called Hampton Street, mm-hmm. and it wasn't called valedictorian, it was called the Hamptonian.
Oh.
Okay, cute, so, on theme.
There we go.
It was a very big deal. Actually, like, humble brag, like huge trophy. Huge.
I love a trophy.
You got a I got a cardboard A. Bullshit.
I know. I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry.
I got to write.
But my teachers didn't sign. I wish they signed. I don't know. Yeah. Would kill them to add some personalization to it all. But.
Do you still have the trophy? You do Good. Still have it? Good. Is it in your current adult apartment?
No, I feel like that would maybe be an issue if I had.
Yeah,
this is not something that you paid movers to put into a box and bring to a new place.
Can you imagine? They wrap in bubble wrap. I tip them extra. I'm like, please be careful with the Hamptonian, please.
I do feel like trophies, as enticing as they are as children, are ultimately just a huge burden in the grand scheme of your life.
Yeah.
And it has to be wasteful, right? Like, where do they go? In the trash? I don't know. Everyone has their trophies still, like their reading trophies. Like, is that plastic? Something's going on there.
Yeah.
The garbage patch is full of honorable mentions.
Totally.
I was helping my dad move some stuff out of like a store. My parents have like a storage thing that they, you know, it's like shit they're just holding on to that they will never use mm-hmm. and forever.
Yeah.
And a bunch of them were trophies from when he went to high school. So it's like they're so they're from like the 60s. And I'm just like, what are
and
we
like
doing
also I've thought about this. I've talked about it on here before, but I have a huge trophy collection from my speech days in junior high.
Of course.
And I've tried to get rid of them and I there's something in me that just I know what it is.
What if we you're gonna keep them.
I'm going to keep them. But I'm like, I've had the same thought of like, I've got to purpose them somehow. Like, I've thought about making furniture out of them, but that feels unhinged.
I mean, a throne, I think would be appropriate.
A throne of trophies.
I think we should just start. You should start using them for merch. Start bringing them to comedy shows.
Oh, that's a fun idea.
That is a fun idea.
Cover up like certificate of excellence with something else. Exactly. I don't know.
Yeah, best. Certificate of Tesselence.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll choose my favorite audience member each show.
I am bequeathing upon you this garbage, basically. Yeah.
My emotional baggage is yours now.
Yeah, that's what you wanted as a fan, right?
And now they can make furniture out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now the burden's on you.
I will say this is the thing about not having kids is that it's like, oh, who's gonna deal with all my shit?
Yeah.
I don't know who's gonna be bequeathed
the government
my garbage.
Yeah. Because when you have kids, then they start getting trophies. And then, like, I've never seen my parents' trophies. Did they just throw theirs away? Or did they just not get them? Or did they
throw
them away?
That's what I'm saying. My dad has them. And my dad's holding on to them still. And they will be in a storage.
No, but where are your dad's trophies? Did your dad have trophies when he was a kid? Did he get
that's
rid
what
of
he
them?
That's what she's talking
that's
about.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, his are in a storage unit. Okay, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Got
his,
it.
His that's what I'm saying. He has his storage from when he went to high school.
Oh, and you're just gonna have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, or there's TV shows that deal with that now. If you don't have kids, you just
oh yeah,
give it to a TV show.
Give it to a
that's
TV show.
So true. What a better way.
That's what I do. It's all my waste. I just give it to a TV show.
Yeah, here. It's content. It's not garbage. It's content.
Take it. It's a prop. Here you go.
Here, open this storage unit with a camera and content.
Have you guys ever shopped at those thrift stores that are, Becca, are you in LA or New York?
Yeah.
LA. They have those thrift stores. I forget what they're called, but they're all the clothes that were like on TV shows that you can buy.
Oh, yeah. It's called like Wrapped or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, those places are fucking awesome because it's all like shit they wore for like 3 hours. And you can get the stuff that was like from the extras on General Hospital.
Yeah, they have that, and they also have like all the crew shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's called? Are there multiple? It's just a thing?
I know think it's called That's a Wrap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, That's a Wrap.
Like there's one like in Burbank specifically.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
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 It feels like
Hollywood too, but yeah.
I was just picturing maybe we give the trophies to the TV shows, then they give it to That's a Wrap, then we go back to That's a Wrap and get our trophies back.
I love that.
Yeah, that's good. Tie it all together.
I didn't pay for them the first time. I just earned them. I mean, so are they even mine if I didn't buy them?
Exactly.
Whoa. Yeah. Who do they belong to? Yeah.
Who do they really belong to? Does everyone remember the first trophy they got?
I think I have a photo. I have a photo like in the back seat of our Volvo. I've posted this photo before, but I'm in like a huge turquoise dress.
Nice.
And it's some like beauty pageant or something. I don't know what the trophy says.
You're a pageant?
Yeah, excuse me.
I think I was in one. And it is such a funny, I wish I had like access to it right now. It's such a funny picture. I don't remember what the trophy says. It's small, but I got something. I don't know what the fuck it was, but that was probably my first one.
Wow, wait. But now we need to talk about your pageant career.
What a revelation.
Do you remember being in a pageant? Yeah.
No, I don't. I honestly don't remember it. Like, I don't really know. I was pretty young. Like, I was probably like, what, like 7 or 8 or something like that? So I don't remember it that well. But it's when I had short hair. So when I had short hair, it was just like a crazy, like, red, like, you know, huge curly head of hair. And it was not a good look. So maybe that's why I didn't have a huge trophy in the photo. But I don't know. I need to ask my mom. Like, I don't remember why the fuck I was in that, or like if I wanted to do it, or if she put me in it. You know what I mean?
Where's
I don't
that
know.
Trophy now?
Maybe. Yeah.
That is still like in our stuff somewhere for sure.
Okay. I feel like pageants, like obviously as an adult, we can all recognize how problematic they are. But like, I get why kids would want to do them.
Oh, yeah. Why not? You get to parade around. I mean, that dress is not something I ever would have worn normally.
It actually couldn't be found in That's a Wrap.
Right?
Yeah, you want to look at the original dress.
I'm texting my mom right now. We'll see if she can give me some details.
Yeah, it was on SLC Public Access. They're like, accounts. Sell it in the store.
I post it on my Instagram sometimes. I'm going to see if I can find it.
Okay, great.
But I think that's the first one slash, I guess I got some soccer ones, but that was the only one that mattered, you know.
Is the Hamptonian?
Soccer.
The first?
No.
Wow.
That was like, that was the middle.
I wouldn't expect that to be the first.
Of a Hamptonian. No,
you have to ramp up to the Hamptonian.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to literally graduate to it, of course. That was like that was the middle of my trophy career, I'd say.
Did they give it to you in front of all of the other children?
Oh, yeah. And if I didn't get it outside, I'd be jealous. It was really large. like abnormally large. I'm like, where'd you get this? This was meant for like wrestling, high school wrestler type of thing, you know? My first trophy was, I think, did you guys have like reading trophies? Like if you read 10 books in the summer, you get a fun little trophy at the end. And it's like, I don't know what the motif behind like the trophy things are, like, but it was a little like genie lamp. I don't really know. That's all I remember.
That sounds kind of familiar.
That feels like a brass.
Yeah. Was that part of the, did you get involved in the Book It program at Pizza Hut?
What? Oh. No. Wait, that sounds fake. A Book It program it at was, Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
You might be a little younger.
You might be a little young, but Pizza Hut in the 90s was leading the charge in childhood literacy, if you can believe that.
Wow.
Yep. I mean, I think it was what you read like 10 books and you got a free pizza. So everyone was just dying to read because, I mean, it worked. Like they were incentivizing reading via what we can all agree is the worst pizza of all time.
Absolutely.
I don't know that I would say worst pizza of all time.
What's worse?
Papa John's. I think Papa John's is worse.
Yeah.
Than,
I think when you're pizza a kid, Hut. Though, Pizza Hut is like, you don't know.
Yeah. But Domino's for me, like, is still one of the top tier, like, junk pizzas.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree. Domino's
so
is
good.
The best bad pizza.
It's so, like, I can taste the crust right now. My mouth is watering. Like, I could always have. And I'm from New York, like, snob.
Oh, my God.
But you can't compare it. Domino's, when you get that itch, you've got to scratch it.
Have to scratch it. And it happens, like, for me, like, once a month. I'm not kidding.
It's so good.
Oh, of course.
The thin crust. You got to go thin crust.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I found the photo. I just pasted it in the chat. This picture.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful.
This picture. You guys ready for this?
Yes, I'm so ready.
Wow, wow, wee, wah. Damn, dude.
It's so cute. It is.
Oh my God,
so,
Shirley Temple.
Oh wait, I'm definitely not 7 or 8. I'm definitely younger than that.
Yeah, you look like you're in like kindergarten.
I've not looked at this photo for a long time.
Yeah, you're definitely
younger.
Oh
my God, you look like a fish in water.
Wow. Barbara, I also hate to be the bearer of bad news. This photo, you will be in a true crime documentary at some point.
Yeah.
Because this photo needs to be in one.
That is literally missing girl vibes right there.
You just
and
look
your
so
hair
angelic.
Is not bad.
No, your hair looks great.
You don't know.
In this photo, it looks great.
It's funny because I'm so young that the trophy is the size of my head, basically.
Yeah. And you're sort of cupping it like it's a baby dove.
And this is a like the back seat of the Volvo, where you're facing backwards. Course. That's where I'm sitting. Mm. Just capturing a lot of vibes here.
I forgot about the back seat of the Volvo seat.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the best.
My grandma's Volvo had one of those too, and that was like better than shotgun.
Oh yeah. You get to antagonize other people driving.
Yeah.
It's wild. You're just facing them as they're facing you. It's a very weird situation.
That had to be like wildly unsafe.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Did it have the seatbelts that were across the lap?
They did go across your chest, but it was just... Yeah, I don't know why it was a thing. Like, they were just like, I mean, I guess because Volvos were probably like for people with a big family, and they were like, we'll just stick some extra seats back here.
My first car had that too. Yeah. I had a Buick station wagon, Century station wagon that had the back seats too. But it's like, if anybody rear ended you, dead.
Over.
Yeah, but Volvos are very safe. So maybe,
that's true.
I don't know if it was.
That's true.
You know.
Honestly,
that's
my favorite car ever was a Volvo, and it saved my life when I got T-boned by someone who was driving on the wrong side of the road. So shout out to Volvos. Damn. And shout out to insurance companies who can kiss my fucking ass, who decided that accident was half my fault.
How? Someone's on the wrong side of the road?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever like had to deal with insurance, but like basically they always decide it's 50-50.
Right. They always say,
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is kind of related. This actually beautifully ties into the pizza conversation
Please.
Before. But
perfect.
When I was living in Brooklyn, I drove not on the wrong side of the road on purpose, but I was going around a huge city bus, and it was a very tiny street.
Okay.
And the back of my Mazda got caught on the on the whole bus and ripped off the entire back of my thing. And I kept driving because I was just like so nervous.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the truck I hit was a Papa John's delivery trailer. And they didn't even give me free pizza for life, which is crazy. Oh, why are you parked here? They're like, this is the city, babe. Like, we can just park here. We're delivering. I'm like, okay, seems illegal. So that was my beautiful story. That's why I haven't had Papa John's. I was like, why is there, like, trauma there?
Isn't their pizza traumatic enough without terrorizing the drivers of Brooklyn?
Right.
Seriously.
You would think.
Did you have to, did they fix your car? Did your insurance fix your car?
No, nothing did. Only me. It was my fault. I will say that it was really my fault. But
yeah, that's one of those where like it was your fault, but like ish.
Ish. I had to duct tape my car back together to drive home. It was,
You're like, this is the consequence. It's fine. Everybody back off. There's duct tape on my car. I know.
This is a good reminder to have a roll of duct tape in your car.
Thank you. That's
I had to go to the fire station across the street crying. I was like sobbing like to the firefighters of Brooklyn. Yeah. They're like, here you go. Just chill. It's cool. They're like scared. They're scared. Never seen a woman cry.
That's such a good instinct. Like, I think that's what I would do too if I fall off fire station and I needed duct tape. I'd be like, those guys have it.
Yeah. Right, not a CVS.
No,
not
no, no.
Home Depot. Just a fire. Yeah, free. It was free. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah,
it's like, can I just leave myself at your front door and can you adopt me, please?
I live here now, okay?
I'm the firehouse dog now.
That would actually be like a really good porno. You're the firehouse dog. Yeah.
My Mazda, it's broken. I don't have anywhere to go. It writes itself.
Totally. Yeah. The correct car, too.
I think it's the pole in the middle of the station and the fact that all firefighters are hot, but there's something very pornographic about fire stations.
The pole.
They're saving you from fire. It's very primal. Yeah. You know they have to have muscles because they... I mean, how many times have you been told how heavy the gear is? We know.
Sweating in there. We know.
I'm so sorry I'm about to say this, but I was looking for hoses on OfferUp. This is just where my life is right now.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
That's and okay. Someone was selling a fire hose, and I was like, who's going to buy this? How is this just on the
like a 10
for
foot
sale? Yeah. They were like, great for like quickly water your lawn. And I'm like, who the fuck is buying a fire hose and attaching it?
You put divots in your yard if you watered it with a fire hose.
And like, you're instantly going to, it was very funny that that was on there.
That's so weird. Insane. It feels like a fire hose should be retired, not put into the
world. Yeah. Give it a bathrobe and let it paint.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the garbage patch is. All fire hoses and trophies just wrapped together. It's like a big snake, like a big rubber band ball. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. It's out there, though.
Wow. Also, who knew that fire hoses, can you just connect that to like a regular thing?
Yeah, I thought it was like a whole special. Because you see.
I thought it was for the hydrant.
Yeah. I thought it was for the
hydrant. Famously.
Yeah, right. Whole...
Maybe that's what you do is connect it to your hydrant on your street, and then you're not even using your own water bill. That's.
Wow.
There's a hack. Everyone.
Okay, I need to get rid of my Brita anyway, so I'm attach that shit in my kitchen.
just we've all decided already that hose water tastes great, so fire hose water must be.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's fresh.
And if there's
minerals in that shit.
I feel like you need to take this back to Brooklyn because this feels very Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yes. This does.
The fire hydrants are always open there.
Oh, yeah. They are.
All summer.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We don't do enough of that in Los Angeles.
No.
No. Not by a long shot.
Oh, now we're all just thinking about it.
Yeah. I know.
Okay. All right.
Like, what do we do in the summer?
The beach? I guess we just have like the Pacific Ocean or whatever. Like,
yeah,
like we don't need a hose. Just bragging.
Oh,
like what do you guys have in New York? The Hudson River? Okay.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Toxic.
We just have like the passageway to Hawaii.
I don't know if you guys follow this account. What is New York? It's so funny. There's just you know, just posts very New York shit, and they posted a guy like just in a fucking like. Inflatable like you know, pool lounge chair just in the Hudson. Just like
that's wild. Like, have you been seeing the stuff that's like, oh, there are brain eating bacteria now? Yeah. Like, in like that seems like what's happening in the Hudson.
Well, I think that's why he was in there, because I think the brain bacteria got him first. And then he's in there.
It got my brain.
It looked fun, honestly. If I had my brain a little bit eaten, I would have been in there too, because it looked fun.
I get it all to yourself.
It's a lazy river, basically.
Exactly.
So lazy, you get tuberculosis.
I love dying. Did you see old-timey disease?
Did you see on that that Instagram page recently? Like last week, there was someone performing an exorcism on the streets of New York. Like, there's like this woman. Yeah, there are some wild things on that.
You guys have to follow. It's amazing. It's such a fucking like.
I have to look.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's a great snapshot of like how insane New York can be. Huh.
I also would love to see an exorcism.
I'm exercising here.
It's someone doing jazzercise in the park.
Just as scary, honestly.
Yeah, for real.
If not scarier, I'd say.
Yeah.
I will say, I'm just going to say this. Every time I see people doing any kind of aerobics in the park, I have this like crazy impulse to join them.
I get jealous. I don't know why I feel this jealousy. I'm right? Like, I'll never have that confidence that you do to just like be doing shake weights in the park.
Right? Just pure unbridled joy and lack of self-awareness.
Yeah. I think you could jump in there totally, Tess.
I would like to. I'm going to at some point. Especially like if I'm at a pool and I see people doing like water aerobics. Sean has to like, he's like, you want to go over there, don't you? I'm like, kind of.
Swim right on up. Get in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think go for it next time.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Question. Where was everyone last night during the best sunset of our lives?
Oh.
I don't know. For those that the recording we're going to get this a couple weeks later, but like literally everybody in the world posted pictures. There was a sunset rainbow last night, which I'd never seen before. It was amazing.
A full rainbow, end to end.
Wow. Yeah.
Wait, there was a rainbow. Are you talking about the one in New York, the double?
Actually, there was one in New York yesterday here.
Whoa. Yeah. Why did that trip me out?
Well, that's because it's on the 22nd anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
Both rainbows. Everyone was like, whoa. And it was actually so sweet. People were like, you know, now we're looking up in the sky for a different reason. Like, it's nice.
Yeah.
But I didn't see the one here. I was at a restaurant. I was having dinner. My two managers are in town and we're having dinner and we actually sat outside like on a beautiful rooftop and then it started raining. I don't know if anyone felt that. Ooh. And then we moved inside and then it missed the gorgeous sunset.
Damn.
But, yeah. Okay. Wow. That's where we got the little, because we got like a full rainbow, like kind of going from like, it was kind of going to Dodger Stadium basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know I was inside all day. I only got photos of the rainbow from inside my room.
I was walking the dogs and I definitely was like, wow, the sky looks really pretty.
I was at a sushi restaurant. We were sitting outside and we could see the sunset part, but then like three servers ran out and they go, there's also a rainbow. And they all ran out to take photos and we're like, all right, well, let's get up. And then
that's
beautiful.
Great. You know, there's nothing like a rainbow that can really bring people together in a real, you know, Kermit moment or whatever.
Yeah. It does feel like a Kermit moment.
Kermit invented it.
They all find it. Yeah. Oh, connection.
Do you know that?
Right.
Sorry. I was going to say real quick, when Dio joined Black Sabbath, they made a rule that he couldn't write any more songs about rainbows.
Wait, who wrote Rainbow Connection?
No, but he wrote that Rainbow in a Dark song. He has like a lot of like 80s rock songs about rainbows.
Oh, does he? I don't really know his stuff.
Oh, well, anyway. If you did, that's
maybe
crazy,
if he wrote more about rainbows, he would have.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show, stick to what you know.
Yeah.
Okay, we cannot talk about rainbows again on the show. We're done.
Okay. We're done.
It's over.
We're going to take a break and scrub all the rainbow mentions from the beginning of this. We'll be back, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Becca.
And it's time to play a game.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to play MySpace. Let's do it.
Love it.
Okay, Becco, this one's really, you know, you got to think about this one. Does technology simplify life or make it more complicated?
Simplify, for me personally, everything's at our fingertips. Like anything I want to know, Google.com.
Right.
Actually, TikTok has become my Google. I'm like, okay, gut health, I'm on TikTok and finding out what to take. So I would say simplify. Like you can order things, they're there in like 2 days.
Yeah.
For me, I like it.
Isn't that funny how sense. TikTok is that it's interesting that we haven't had that before where like you're not just Googling it, you're finding human beings who have experience with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just so much easier to digest that way. Like, yeah. It's one thing to like read a recipe and it's another thing to like see it all edited in like a minute. And like there is so much information that's like, you know what? You actually can learn how to blow dry your hair in 60 seconds.
Or like curl your hair with a sock. Like, didn't know that was a thing before. You know, I wouldn't read an article about that, but I'd watch a girl do it. Am I ever going to do it? No. Am I going to buy the socks? Yeah, of course. And I just end up never doing anything I watch, but it's very fun. It's kind of almost like you're living it as you watch it, which is kind of sick. But you're like, okay, I'm watching a woman make like a pumpkin loaf. I basically just made that. You know,
that's interesting. I wonder if that's why there so much of that organization stuff is popular, because it sort of like makes you feel on some level like you are organized just by watching it.
It's satisfying.
I bet you that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am obsessed with that stuff. That's like, that's definitely my go-to like soothing. Just like, I just want to watch people put things into other things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Speaking of go-to soothing. Oh, I love the restock.
Yes.
Speaking of go-to soothing, the other night, this is like terrifying for me to even say. I'm feeding the dogs and a full-size cockroach scurries across my kitchen. I don't know what it is. They're disgusting. But I'm one of those people, like, I'm not afraid of spiders. I'm not afraid of bugs. Like, usually bugs, but cockroaches, like, get me on such a visceral soul level that I almost, like, pass out. And then I look around. I find we have these, like, red Solo cups in the pantry. And I find a red Solo cup. And I just, like, put it over the cockroach and, like, wait for Sean to get home. So I just have to, like,
I poured it a beer.
It did a keg stand. The cockroach was upside down and a tube top.
Now I'm getting matching tattoos with a cockroach. So
infinity signs.
But so I had this like live cockroach underneath a red Solo cup in my kitchen, and I texted Sean and I'm like, you have to come home and kill this cockroach. And so while I was waiting for him to come home and kill the cockroach, I was so like keyed up that the first thing my brain thought to do is look at pictures of jewelry. So like while I was
That's like
not even
space.
Shopping for jewelry, just like you Google search like necklace.
Yeah.
Just like look at it.
Shiny things. Show them to me.
And it worked.
It worked. Good. Yeah.
You didn't do the paper under the thing and then like do it. You were just like, no.
It's too much. I'm too scared of them. Like it was all I could do is throw the cup over it. Even that.
The question is, did Sean squish or you sprayed or you let it go? I really hope not the last one.
He squished.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to.
Crunchy. Yeah.
That's why I couldn't, because of the crunch.
Yeah.
I had a really bad saga with cockroaches when I first moved here. I was staying in an Airbnb and I had never, even in Brooklyn, I had mice, but never cockroaches. And they're just, they just really get you really close to your fears.
It's giving me like the heebie-jeebies. I think what it is, it's a combination of the texture and the size.
And they're fast, and they're fuckers. Fast. They're track stars.
I always remember too, we had Jessica Lagnano on the show, and she's like an animal communicator, and she talked about how like she once like read an infestation and they had a group mind, like the Borg, and they like
no.
Like the Borg.
She said that.
I remember that.
I think of it often. And they like they also were like, we don't care about you. We know we'll be here after you are all gone too. Like they just know that they're eternal and they'll outlive humanity. And
so they're not scared of us.
No.
Oh no. It doesn't seem like they are.
No.
I thought, okay.
Yeah. you thought they were?
No.
Mm-mm. Well, I thought like, because whenever I have come eye to eye with a cockroach, like we look each other in the eye and then it scurries or I scream and then it gets scared. When I scream, it's like, it gets scared and runs. So I just thought maybe it would be scared.
I think in the moment it's probably like, oh, there's a large being there. But like in general, they're not, they're like, we're just doing our thing. And we're
going to outlive you.
They're bold. They're bold. I hate it. Ugh.
I would be too if I could live without my head. If you could behead me and then I'd still be alive.
Yeah. Stop it. Is that true, Becca? Is that true?
Yeah. Zombie shit.
And I didn't want to say anything, but you shouldn't squish them because it spreads the eggs, but I'm sure he did a good job. I'm so sorry. Yikes. I'm so sorry.
What are you supposed to do?
Spray.
Give him a little.
But I don't like poison. Like, I'm a hippie.
Yeah. There's hippie ones.
Okay.
To spray.
Okay.
Just for next time.
Well, I hope there isn't a next time or I'm going to cry.
There'll never be a next time. Okay. We manifest that.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Okay, let's change the subject. Okay. Let's see here. Favorite holiday?
Ooh, Thanksgiving.
Oh, good choice.
I love to eat. I find that, like, New Year's, Christmas could be, like, a little more depressing. Mm-hmm. Just it's darker. I don't know. Thanksgiving is such a fun time.
I love
what do you? What's your normal Thanksgiving? Do you do family? Do you friends? What do you do?
Do family, but, like, honestly, my favorite part is a Friendsgiving. I love a good Friendsgiving.
Yeah.
Have people over, go to a Friendsgiving, everyone brings a little something. That's, like, my favorite part of, like, the holiday time around Thanksgiving. But yeah, I usually go to family and we do, like, a big dinner.
Do you make something? Or lots of things?
Okay, stuffing from the box, but honestly, stovetop stuffing is it's so
great.
Good.
It's great.
It really is.
It's so good.
We don't need to. It's delicious. No, it's,
they perfect.
One day I'll try.
But. I'll tell you this, RE stuffing though. I also like stovetop, but have you ever had cornbread stuffing?
No.
That yeah, shit is good. Delicious.
And you can get that in the box too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Or I get one like at Whole Foods that like they kind of give you everything you need in a bag and then you just kind of put it in the oven with some stock.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love when they do that for you.
I know.
Like a little arts and crafts kit, but for stuffing.
Exactly. Yeah. I also like Thanksgiving. You're right, because it feels like it has a lot of the fun pomp and circumstance of a holiday without the pressure.
No gifting. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to worry about that. You just have to be there and eat. Like, for your only responsibility to be eating is amazing.
It's delightful. Also the first, like, long holiday in weekend in like mm-hmm. months, you know, so it's like the first break, you know,
right? It's kind of like the kickoff of like, and then everyone like after that is just like, oh, well, you know, the holidays, and then no one is everyone's trying to do nothing basically.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. Do you?
I actually really do. Like when everyone is on the same page, like, oh, we're chilling, it's like holiday time, like low pressure. I love that.
Yeah.
It just takes the pressure off everything.
Yeah, because that is where the pressure comes from, is like knowing that other people are out there getting their trophies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Everyone's always getting a trophy, and I feel like I'm behind.
I need more trophies.
Okay, this is, Becca, I'm just going to say this how it's worded and answer it as you will.
Okay.
You just bought a lifetime supply of whatever you just bought. What was it?
Great copywriting.
Love it.
Oh my god. What's something like lifetime supply? Creamer, like coffee creamer. I feel like I'm always getting, I just want that delivered to my doorstep every week. It's something that I'm always thinking about.
Oh.
I'm always trying a new one. And I just want a lifetime supply.
You're always thinking about it. Do you do flavors? What do you do?
I do. I'm very serious about it. I have like my little frother. I have my flavors. Sometimes I'll do like a little coconut whipped cream on top. Like I'm a barista in my home.
I swear the frother, I was thinking about this, is one of like the smallest inventions that has like truly changed my life. Like,
right?
Like it's
sad.
It seems so silly because it's like something that's stirring shit, but it like really, like I make like a protein coffee with like a scoop of protein, you know, stuff and like a little bit of milk and then use that to mix it up. And like I've tried to do it with spoon before and it fucking sucks. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, oh God, this is an invention that like truly changed my life for the better.
An immersion blender's younger brother. It's perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah. It goes so fast, too. You really can't beat the speed.
Yeah. No, you can't.
Too, guys. Look how fast I am. Yeah.
I don't know about if you guys have a hot and cold frother, but my Nespresso frother will do both hot and cold foam. So, like, on a hot summer day, I can make, like, an iced coconut milk latte in my house.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
I really recommend it.
I need an espresso thing. I'm, like, I'm getting to the point where I'm just, like, I wake up every day craving, like, you know, some kind of intense coffee drink. And I'm like, all right, it's time.
You're going to love it. You're frankly going to love it. And there's nothing that makes you feel so fancy as like having an espresso in your own home.
And it'll make you shake. Like I need to shake when I wake up.
Yes,
like,
I want to shake and I want to shit.
You want to shake and you want to shit? I will say an espresso does both of those things. Actually, sometimes simultaneously.
Yes.
I'll say that. Yeah.
I'm starting off my morning with a cleanse. and yes. 30 minutes of productivity.
Yes. Well, and also my other thing with espresso is like, granted, this is maybe not a good time of the day to be drinking caffeine, but like after lunch or after dinner, like a quick boop. Mm-hmm. It's so nice. It just gets you through the afternoon. Yeah. You don't have to like sit there and sip something. Just a quick boop.
After dinner, you do full caffeine.
On Friday or Saturday, I will. Yeah. I love an espresso after a big meal.
I love that. They do that in Europe, don't they?
That's the thing. I'm very Parisian.
You're European. Yeah, you're just change your cigarette.
Oh, yes, cigarettes. We bought a pack of cigarettes like a month ago, and I was just going to have one. And you guys, I had to have Sean take them back to the office because I was like, like day three, I was like walking around the backyard like.
In your robe, like.
Yeah, I almost started smoking again. Okay.
Look, with the way the world is, like, whatever. Yeah, that's the least of.
Shit's hard.
Your problem. If everything's on fire, your lungs are allowed to be too.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Okay, Rebecca. Yeah. What is the most embarrassing thing your parents have ever done?
Oh.
Well, we probably don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Oh my God, do you guys have answers? I'm trying to think. Okay, I have actually one. My dad would rarely drop me off to school because I'd like take the bus, but sometimes he would if I was late. And he was in the Marine Corps and he had his only CD in the car was like a CD of just Marine Corps chants. This drill sergeant being like screaming. And he thought it was a little fun game when he dropped me off that right when I opened the door for him to blast the chants in front of my high school. And as a very like socially anxious girly, I wanted to crawl in a hole and die. And then I joined the Marines. No, I didn't. But
I mean, this truly feels like from a movie where you have that military dad who's like dropping you off to military
day.
Chance.
School, sweetie. Yeah, no, it was really crazy. I'm like sweating thinking about it, like literally the back of my knees right now dripping.
And it's like, I don't know why that's so embarrassing when you're a teenager because it's not like, well, I guess I had a cool dad, but most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people don't.
Like,
we have to count our blessings.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I don't know why you think that, like, all the other kids at the high school are going to be like, you have an embarrassing dad, not me.
Yeah. My dad dropped me off on a motorcycle.
Yeah. See, I have a cool dad. So, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's definitely a few stories in my family that, especially from my dad, that he'll, like, kind of tell at gatherings and stuff. Mm. And he has this story. I'll just do a short version of it. But, when he like started out as a lawyer, they didn't have any money and he was like, he just lost a case and he was wearing this like super cheap suit and just like felt like shit. And he had to go fly home and he goes to the airport and he's like running late. And the lady at the front desk is like, gets on the phone and she's like, you had better run to that plane to him. And so he's like running through the airport in his cheap suit. And this is back when like you had to board, you know, getting on the tarmac or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he sees the plane. He like runs up to it, and he said he jumped on the fence and was like, "Wait!" Because he saw the stewardess is like about to close the thing, and then a guy behind him goes like, "Hey, buddy, you want to get in line?" And he turns around, and this whole line of people is standing there waiting to get on the flight. He he somehow like totally didn't see them and just had to like walk past everyone in his cheap suit. So that's a moment I know he was embarrassed. That's a good old family.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of like endearing too, though.
No,
there's
it's
something
great.
About
it's
a man in a cheap a good, suit. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's a good story.
That's so funny. Oh my God. Yeah, I don't know.
I have like secondhand embarrassment. I'm thinking about that right now.
Yeah,
imagine like a whole line of people, and you're like, oh God.
I hope he's not sitting next to me. What a horrible plane ride with that embarrassing man.
Oh my God. There's an embarrassing dad. An embarrassing dad.
Yeah, it's just sweaty father.
They start blasting Marine Corps chants throughout the airport. Like your life flashing
over the plane, loudspeakers.
Yeah. The pilot.
How do you guys? This one's a good one. I'm just turning it up.
Yeah. How do you guys feel when people clap on the plane? Because it makes me cringe more than anything I've ever felt in my life.
Awful. Oh, like for landing?
Yes.
I don't like it.
Clapping for landing, clapping for anything. But I'm like, why are we clapping? Why is clapping?
I brace
happening?
Myself now. I feel like it happens kind of sporadically, but every once in a while. But when I land, I'm like, oh, someone's going to do it. But it's not going to be me. You're like ready.
Yeah.
It like hurts my inside. I don't know why. I hate it so much.
There is something cringe about it. You know, and one of the first dates I went on with Sean, we went to a movie. And at the end of the movie, the guy sitting next to us just started muttering, don't clap. Don't clap. Don't clap. And then everybody did clap and he went, damn it. And I think about that every time people clap on planes.
See, I'll clap at the end of a movie. I like that. But at the end, I think I'm just trying to disassociate so hard on a plane that I'm like, I don't want anything.
You just don't want even to realize that landing a plane could be a clappable moment. You're like, you just landed out of the air. No, that's fine. This is just like taking a left.
Yeah, of course we should have landed. That's what happened.
Doesn't it feel rude, like to the staff? You're like, yeah, you did it. Congrats. You
a little bit. Plane.
Ooh. That's what it feels like.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
You know?
It's like
insincere.
It's like as if you were going to clap at someone who's on a run. Like,
yes. Good job. Yeah.
I think it just gives me the same vibes as when like flight attendants tell jokes and everyone like dies laughing at them. I'm like, it's just like, what are we?
When they do stand up, they suddenly think.
Like, what is happening?
I like the jokes.
You just want to get a set in, Babs. You just want to get a set. You're like, I won't be up there.
I'm like, this is not comedy. Do you guys want to hear something actually funny?
I think they're cute.
Grab the mic.
No, I hate them. Why do you like it? I can't.
Because they're funny. Already. They're silly. I don't know. I like street jokes.
I do too, but in this situation, I feel like people are just like laughing hard. Like it's just not deserved what they're getting.
I think they're nervous. People are like trying to be like, hey, let's just have fun. This is a bad thing's about to happen. Flying's awful.
Yes. So why are any of us making noise? Let's all shut up.
Do you also hate it when groups of people sing on planes?
Sing.
I've never encountered that.
The videos
The Lion King cast sang.
I fucking hate, if I was on that plane, I swear to God, I would just be screaming.
I would have loved that, obviously.
Me too. I would have just been screaming until it ended. I would have
been crying tears of joy.
No, I hate it. That
are you serious? If that much harmony was happening around you, you would hate it?
I would fucking hate it. Shut the fuck up.
In a vacuum sealed, airtight, like how does sound even travel in there? The harmonies, I'm like, how does that work?
Ugh. No. No round of applause for me. I'll clap for the pilot twice as loud. You have a theater where you do this. Go do this there, off the street away from me.
So the professionals can't do it, but the flight attendants can.
I guess so.
Yes.
I'm up for all of it, honestly.
Yeah.
I'll take it all.
There are no rules up there.
No.
That is true.
I will say I haven't flown not high in like 15 years. So that also might make me more amenable to everyone's bullshit.
You're just vibing. Absolutely.
I'm just vibing. If I'm on a plane, you bet I'm vibing. Yeah.
Okay, Becca. Okay, this is a good closing out one. What three things about the future excite you?
Ooh.
Ooh. Like immediate future or just in general?
It's open to
whatever.
Okay. Just kind of like, I don't know. I'm very new here, so life could look like anything in a year. Mm. Like I love looking every year how different life was last year. So it's kind of like that excites me, just like the unknown of not knowing what's going to happen. Also,
you're new
just,
to LA, you mean?
I'm new to LA, a year. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of fun. I guess... traveling, like I plan to do a lot of travel this year. I'm excited to see some new places. And Thanksgiving. Can I say that?
Oh, those are great answers. No, those are all great answers. Yeah.
Where are you from? So do you go back home?
I do. I'm from Long Island.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Oh, you're a true New Yorker.
Okay. I'm a true New Yorker. What do you call me that? I guess. Like if I didn't live in
Long Island.
But, yeah.
I mean, it's like if you're from the valley, you can still claim LA.
Yeah. Yes. So I like to go back and forth. Everyone's there. Like all my family, all my friends are on the East Coast mostly. So it's nice to go back.
Yeah, it's nice. You can like hit everything in one shot.
Go see a Broadway show. Have a slice of pizza.
It's kind of true, though. You kind of have to do those things, though.
No, you do.
What are you going to see next, you know?
Oh, God, no. Didn't Funny Girl just close? I really wanted to see that.
Yeah, I wanted to see it, too. As much as Lea Michele is Lea Michele, I kind of feel like we needed to see her do it.
I really wanted to.
Yeah.
I've not watched the show, but some fucking show on HBO about football, the Jets.
Hard Knocks. I watched every episode.
Did you watch that one where they talked about going to shows?
Yes.
the football players?
Yeah. So my boyfriend, they're from Jersey. So of course they're, you know, they play in Jersey. Yeah. So they're right by New York. And there's this really cute clip where like, they're all just talking about the shows that they love. And so it's just really nice to see like macho dudes being like, oh man, Wicked? Wicked's the best. It's like, oh, it's like really endearing. And like, that was the only thing I saw of the whole show. Like, Adam made me watch it.
It's kind of the whole show. Like, I like Hard Knocks. We watch it every year. They take a different team and it's like them at training camp. So you kind of get to know like all the boys on the team, and like it's less about football and more about just like the politics of the boys on the team. And like they have the rookies every year have to put on a talent show for the other players, and it's always really bad.
And so it's like hazing.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like watching like a bunch of really big men at summer camp.
I love that.
That's fun. That's cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing icebreakers. Yeah.
Exactly. No, they literally are. Yeah. And the boys this year, their talent show was so bad, they got booed off the stage and they had to come back and do a new talent show.
Damn.
That's great.
I'm going to give my Hamptonian to them. Wow. I need a place to put that trophy.
We all need a way somewhere to boo someone off a stage. I mean, that's like a special moment.
Exactly.
Have you ever done that? I've never done that in my life.
Booed
anybody? Not that like I can remember.
Like if it's.
I feel like I booed like in jest or something for a moment, but not like ever.
Never right. True. I've never had fully. A true.
Never for someone who actually, yeah.
Oh God, I would love true to though. Boo. I would love I to. It feels
like throw tomatoes. Yeah.
I've
definitely left a stage where I felt like the audience was doing it inside, but they weren't actually actively doing it.
Oh wait, I got booed once. I got booed. Yeah. At the Cleveland Improv, it was like the worst week of my life doing comedy. Never had a worse week in my whole life. And the manager was like really shitty to me and was like, you have to tell like really filthy jokes and that's what works here. Da, 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 da. So I had changed my set, which it was nightmare. But I had changed my set to make it like super filthy. And that had worked on like Saturday night. The Sunday early show, I had failed to notice that it was all like super conservative Cleveland people. So I got on stage and started telling all this like filthy material, and I just hear silence, silence. I'm like, and then my second joke, I just heard silence, boo, boo, boo. And I had to stay up there for 10 minutes while people booed me. It was one of the most dehumanizing experiences of my life. I hid literally in the coat closet until it was time to go get my check and leave.
Awful.
Yeah.
Oof. Well, fuck that manager for like being like, you can only do dirty jokes here. Like,
I know.
What is that?
No, the whole thing, I forget that guy's name. Whoever was the fucking manager of the Cleveland Improv 17 years ago can kiss my Portuguese ass.
Are you Portuguese?
Yeah. Are you?
Me too.
Oh my God. From where? Are you from the Azores?
No, like Lisbon area. Okay. Where my grandma's from.
Nice, nice, nice.
Oh my God, where are you from?
We're Azorean, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I'm trying to go next summer. I'm trying to do a big family trip.
Me too. Me
really?
Too. Yeah.
Okay, I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll see you there. Oh my God. Have you ever been to Portugal?
When I was 3, but I have family there, and my grandma had a house there, like a little condo, so we might go.
It's lovely. I've only been to Lagos.
Okay.
But it was...
Only. Yeah. Everyone and their mother's going to Lisbon.
Oh, I know. Lisbon is the new Greek Isles.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen
for
that
sure.
too.
Definitely. That's why I keep
Okay, up. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back, everybody. Everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Becca.
And it's time for Lady Problems. You guys have been sending us them. That's great. Keep doing it. You can give us a call at 323-6-BUT-30 or email us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. I almost just said my personal email.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hi, ladies. Longtime listener, and I have a lady problem, and it's about weddings. Yay! So I've been friends with the bride for about 5 years, and we like hold each other sisters. She was in my wedding party. I thought we were really, really good friends. And then when she got engaged earlier this year, she didn't ask me to be her maid of honor, to be in her wedding party, nothing. And like, I didn't want to ask at that point. So she asked her other good friend to be her maid of honor. And then like a week and a half ago, things just spiraled totally out of control. The maid of honor tried to torch the relationship for literally no reason. It's a mess. So since then, she's obviously been fired, and I've been there for my friend, as she sort of realized that like this person had a pretty documented history of like being manipulative and shitty. And she said that she realized she was pursuing that friendship at the expense of all her other friendships. So now I'm sort of like helping her with wedding stuff. We're picking out her wedding dress this weekend. And she's asking me to do her bachelorette and all these fun things. But like, I don't know if she were to ask me at this point if I would say yes, because it would feel really shitty. And I guess my question is, how do I navigate the situation where my feelings are definitely hurt? And I don't want to feel like second fiddle, but I also want to support her because I would have cared anyways. So, yeah. And I've also tried to take your relationship advice and stay the heck out of someone else's drama in case they reconcile, which would be terrible. But, yeah, thanks for your advice, ladies.
Ooh, that's tough.
Weddings really bring out,
oh my God,
the worst parts in people.
We get a lot of lady problems about weddings. Yeah, there's always something going down.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the caller is the maid of honor, really. You're doing all the things that, like, a maid of honor would do. And I don't know, if it doesn't matter to you that much, the title, just know that like you are kind of like, sounds like the most supportive, important kind of friend in your engaged friend's life. And you are, I think when she looks back on this experience, she's going to look at your help and your involvement in that way. So like, to what degree is that title really important? Like, there could be a lot of reasons why this other person got asked to be the maid of honor. Like, I don't know, I feel like some people care more about that. Like, maybe your friend thought maybe it sounds like this other friend is kind of really manipulative and shitty, so maybe that person manipulated your friend into asking her, and maybe your friend was like, oh, this person cares more about that honorific than like, yeah, than you do.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. I feel like it's also like, it seems like there's so much going on at that point where like, it's hard. The bride is probably just reacting to everything versus being proactive on the other side of it. So she's probably like putting out fires versus getting, I don't know how much time she's had to sit and like think from the other side of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Especially if like that position just blew up in her wedding. It's like probably just not thinking as clearly as she wants to, you know?
Yeah.
So you coming in and like helping and like getting all that stuff done, it is like, yeah, it's helping her calm down. You know, it is doing all the right, it's doing all the things, but yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. I feel like weddings bring out such heightened emotions in people, and everything is like amplified to like a crazy degree that like it takes like taking a step back and being like, oh my God, here are the people who are actually here for me. And if you don't, like you were saying, is if you don't care as much about the title, it's like at the end of the day, you were that role for her. And like, you're going to be the person who she looks back and realizes like, you know, how important your friendship is and how helpful you were. I feel like that's the most important part if you take away the title of it all. But I mean, I guess it depends. There's like so much pressure on the maid of honor and this people, and who's in my party and who's this. At the end of the day, it's like you're just celebrating your love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
People, you know?
Should be easy. And yet.
It should.
Because it's like, honestly, what does it mean if you're the maid of honor? It means you're going to have to buy a stupid dress. And it means that, like, you're going to have homework on wedding day, which nobody wants homework on wedding day. Like, that means you can't get drunk until Either you can't get drunk until after your speech, or you can, and then you're going to be drunk for your speech. But yeah, it's going to be in the back of your mind. Like, you know, I don't know. Every time I have to give a speech at a wedding, it's like I feel like I can't really relax until after I give the speech. So, like,
yeah,
maybe you've been relieved of that.
And I mean, she sounds like she's saying, right, like, I don't even know if I would say yes now if she asked me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like she's going – I feel like you're probably going to say yes. I mean, just – sounding what the situation sounds like. And I guess to just really think of, like, solidly what you want the answer to that to be before she does ask you, if she does, you know, because I don't want – you don't want to get caught in a moment where you're, like, have a panic answer, you know what I mean?
That's a good point.
So I would just really think through the different choices and if you you know, and if you say no, you can maybe say, like – it doesn't have to be a big thing, but you can make a small, just be like, no. And, you know, I honestly was a little bit hurt, but like, it is whatever. We're going to move past this and I don't want you to focus on this, but like, maybe it's something we can talk about in the future, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like setting.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
It does sound like she also was trying to apologize at being like, I'm realizing what the, how much energy this friend's taken from me, how much I've been manipulated by this person. Like that is valid. You know, that's all extremely valid, you know? And it's, you know, she might not have been acting like as best as you would have liked in this, but you know, we all have
moments. Huge that she's recognizing that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's hard. That's like rare for people to actually see that sometimes, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And feel like setting some boundaries can be helpful. Like if you're going to accept maid of honor, be like, hey, listen, I wasn't expecting this because I wasn't asked at first. So I can't commit to this, this, and this, but I can be here for you in this, this, and this. And kind of compromising in that way, just like to protect your own inner peace, because it sounds like it can be stressful last minute.
Yeah. Especially when it's like not your wedding. Like just keep remembering that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's only so much you should stress out about not your wedding.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, man.
Yeah. Good luck. We're sending you love and light.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun day either way. Like, don't let the drama of a title and everything like take away from you celebrating your friend. You know, I mean, it's
there's no maid of honor trophy, so you know
there should be though.
There should be.
It really should be. I'm surprised it probably has been a reality show like Best Maid of Honor.
Oh God, I'm sure.
Yeah. Also, like,
there was.
If she and just a little bit, if she like had a person that she felt like she was like chasing more, who was this like manipulative person, she probably has a lot of people pleaser tendencies. And if like those people tend to the people in their lives who are understanding and that will just kind of go with the flow, like you do get a short end of the stick while they're working on that because they're just terrified of upsetting everybody else in their life. So that means that you're a safe person to her, is what that I mean. You know, it doesn't feel great either, but it's like that is like you are a person that isn't giving her that kind of anxiety, and like, you know, that's shit for her to work on, but you know.
Yeah, but like after her wedding.
Like
that's the thing, like there's honestly few experiences as stressful as being the bride in a heterosexual wedding. Like it's something else, really. Like the amount of pressure that's put on you from so many people and, like, the amount of logistics stuff that you're trying to do and, like, just the cost of it and you trying to keep – like, there's so many things that I think fall to the woman that, like, I do feel like if you're the supportive friend kind of person, just, like, be there and support her and try not to, like, make her life any less stressful.
Yeah, she might not be herself right now.
Exactly.
We don't
know. Yeah.
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 For sure. But have fun. And hey, if you're not maid of honor, you get to pick a better dress.
That's true.
So true. Any color you want, girl.
Yeah. Bright white lace. All right. Okay, should we do one more?
Yeah.
Hi, ladies. This is Devin. I listen all the time. I'm obsessed with you guys. I have a lady problem. My lady problem is that I have I'm a creative type. I have too many, like, things I want to do. And I found out that there's this thing called hyper creativity, which is basically just ADHD, only you only have it or creative things. So, like, I will have, like, 15 ideas in my head at once, and I just, like, I won't know where to start. And I also, I kind of burn out quickly. So, like, whichever idea I choose, I go at it with, like, 110%. And then, you know, a short time later, I'm, like, ready to do the other thing. I'm like, okay, well, that thing, it didn't finish, and I'm not done with it, and it's dead to me now. You know, like, I just can't seem to finish anything. And it's only with creative stuff. So, yeah, I'm just not sure what to do about it. I'm in the Screen Actors Guild, so we're currently on strike, which means I'm also currently, like, the most broke I've ever been in my life, because that was my main source of income. So, yeah, that's my thing. I have too much creativity and too much time and not enough money, and my brain doesn't know how to handle it. Any help would be very welcomed. Thanks. Bye.
I actually just got some really good advice about this recently. Mm-hmm. In the same boat, ADHD girly, always all over the place. And I'm someone who, like, is just like a serial hobbyist. Like, yes. Is that a word? You know, I just, yeah. But the advice I got was, like, you can have all these interests, but before you go, like, full throttle on one, like, before you buy, like, you want to do bird watching, before you buy the binoculars, the book, the everything, like, are there things at home, maybe for cheaper, that you can utilize before you fully dive? Because I don't know if that's the case for you, where you're buying all these things and, like, getting ready to do all these hobbies that don't last very long, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, like, are there things you could use and be thrifty about at home to satisfy the craving for that hobby instead of, like, because I'm one of those people, I go, I'm like, okay, here we go. We're going to the store and we're going to, like, start a new life. And then it's a week later and it's over. You just wasted all the money. Mm-hmm. But, like, there are ways, like, you know, researching online instead. Do you have, like, colored pencils at home and paper that you could try it out and see before you kind of jump off the deep end with it? That could help with the money aspect. I don't know.
That's a great call because, yeah, like, I'm definitely one of these people. I mean, I'm literally just surrounded by, like, a million unfinished projects right now. And I have so many things I bought with, you know, new projects or hobbies I was going to start or whatever. And I think, like, the money aspect of it is, like, you've already spent a bunch of money on this stuff, probably. You have it. You have stuff you can work on. Like, and there's a really good chance that you have something you've totally forgotten about that you could maybe get excited about again if you just, like, pull it out. So you don't need to spend any new money. You've got... And I get it. We all do that thing where they're like, you're like, yeah, I'm going to, like, you know, completely be this person. And then you buy the whole thing and then it becomes trash, you know. So I guarantee I was actually thinking about this. Like, I found my cross-stitch graveyard recently. And
I remember the cross-stitch phase. Yeah.
And I'm calling them graveyards now because I keep running into different graveyards in my house of, like, things that I'm like, oh, look at this one. And I can't even tell you guys, I think I have, like, 7 cross-stitch, like, packs that are all, like, new and, like, have not even been started or anything. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of fun to run into them and, like, I'm going to keep, like, maybe 2 and then give the other ones away, you know? But maybe just kind of, like, look through all your stuff. Like, have fun looking through it all and, like, organizing it and then, like, maybe being like, oh, I'm actually going to start back on this one, you know? Because I started... Yeah. Finishing, I had, like, 5 cross stitches also that were, like, only needed maybe a half hour more work, but I for some reason had stopped them right before they were done. Like, what the fuck is that? And so now I have these things. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna finish these, you know. So I bet anything you've got something in your house that, like, is longing to be finished that you'll stumble upon.
Yeah, and I think to that point, like, I definitely have bias with, like, projects I recently finished but recently, not as in, like, in the last week, but, like, maybe a couple months, I have this bias where I think it's worse than it is. If I wait a year and go back, I'll be like, oh, that was actually pretty good. Like, maybe there might be some, like, I don't know what kind of creative stuff you're doing, but some of the projects that maybe you don't think you're as, like, into or energized by might be worth revisiting now that you've had some distance. And you might be able to see, like, oh, actually, like, I am excited about this because I just needed a break.
Yeah. Well, and I think we also like we put so much pressure on ourselves to be like amazing at everything. And I think that is like a it's such a cultural thing in so many ways, because it's like we should just be doing stuff because it feels good and isn't like the purpose is not to be the best at X, Y, and Z. It's just to enjoy the process of the thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, we don't need to figure out a way to monetize and like be the best at literally everything. And that's like that in itself is its own kind of work, just to be like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. I can just make a pot and it's fine, but I'm proud I made it.
Yeah.
You know, like
we're so scared to be beginners at anything. Yeah. But yeah. like that's the best place to be, because yeah. it means you're learning something new. But it's like a scary thing to admit or like feel like you're bad at something because mm-hmm. you're trying it. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's not that you should abandon something.
Yeah.
It just
yeah.
means that you're going through the beginning part.
Well, I think mm-hmm. it's probably hard to finish, because it's also like if you're in the process, you're still in the fantasy of like you could be the best at this, you know, immediately. Mm-hmm. But then when it's done, then you're like, I think I'm good. And you're like, all right, well, on to the, you know, so it can like feel yeah. like a weird ego hit or something. And it's like, no, you're if everybody was amazing out of the gate, then the value wouldn't be there, you know, for like yeah. watching the best version of the mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah, you know. I've been doing this. I saw this on Instagram, no big deal. But I've been doing this productivity thing that I've actually found pretty helpful. It's like the rule of threes so the night before you figure out like what your most meaningful task is, and you're going to spend 3 hours on that. Then you knock out three things that are like meaningful but easy, like an email you have to send or something that's sort of like a task that you can get through but that you still need to do. And then three maintenance things. So that might be like working out or reading or something that's going to mm-hmm. improve yourself. And that has really helped me kind of like today, because I'm a creative person, my meaningful one is almost always like a creative task. But like today it's going to be podcasting. Like that's my, mm-hmm. I'm going to spend 3 hours podcasting today. Like that's going to be the thing I'm doing today. And so rather than be like, and then I'm going to eat lunch and then I'm going to write 10 pages of a script. It's like, mm-hmm. no. And then I'm going to knock out my three easy things and my maintenance things. Mm-hmm. Because that's, and it and kind of it. Has, and that's it. And it kind of has helped me see like realistically, this is what I can do in a week. Like yeah. if I am writing a freelance article, that's my 3 hour meaningful task that day, because mm-hmm. that's going to be the creative thing that I'm going to put my energy and focus into. And like in trying to like overload yourself with like too much in one day, I think can really be prohibitive, like actually getting shit done. So I have found it really helpful to kind of like use that.
Yeah. And I think it's also figuring out a way that like organization makes sense for you. It's like I'm extremely analog. I like need to have like a physical planner, a physical calendar. I have like a whiteboard with like lists and stuff. It's just like I like putting like to-do lists and stuff in my phone doesn't do shit for me. Like if it's in a digital space, I don't believe that it's real. It just isn't like my brain won't think of it. So it's like, what is the way that like makes sense to get like that? Because I think like with ADHD, it's also like that constant like, oh fuck, what's not what, you know, your brain is bopping around. What's a way to like take that out of yourself a little bit too? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I usually have like a like on my planner, I'll have like, this is all the shit I want to get done within the next couple of weeks. And it's like I write it out every week, and whatever doesn't get done gets moved to the next week. And then it's like you see that list get whittled down over time, but it isn't like mm-hmm. it has to happen today.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is like super helpful, because then you're like, oh shit, okay, oh, I have time right now, I could just do that, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have time right now, or I don't have time right now.
I think it's right
you can also yeah. like we think we're so superhuman, and it's like mm-hmm. no, dude, you fucking need to go eat something, and yeah. you need to walk your yes. dog, and you need to go to the store. Like life mm-hmm. takes time. Like I think that having unrealistic expectations of how many minutes you're going to have in a day can kind of yeah. be paralyzing. And like it's okay if you have a task that you know you want to get done and you're going to do that Thursday instead of today. That yeah. that's different than procrastinating. That's yes. time management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
And it's so easy to be so disappointed when you don't finish your whole to-do list for the day because it wasn't ever reasonable at all.
Exactly.
I still struggle with that every day. I'm like, I'm a failure. I didn't do anything. I'm like, oh my God. You literally just put 24 hours of work straight like on a to-do list.
Right.
Like, when are you going to sleep, girl?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
But that's why I enlist, like they don't work for me because I get overwhelmed by the amount of things I need to do. So even sitting down to write it wouldn't, mm-hmm. like, I would be like, you know what I mean? Because there's it. Always something to do. The mm-hmm. list never, to me, never goes away because it's just, like, never ending. Mm-hmm. So, like, I realize that I have to just trust myself that I, like, know intuitively, like, what I can do. You know what I mean? And I don't think I get the stuff done necessarily that I want to all the time, but I also like have it within myself to be like, all right, you're going to fucking figure this out. And like, it's going to be okay, you know? So it just depends. Like we said, it just depends on like what works best for you. I think that we talked about this before, but body doubling is really good where like if you want to do something creative and you have a creative friend, set aside a time once a week to be like, oh, like let's work on, you know, creative shit today. And it'll just kind of force you to pick a thing and work on it, you know? And so like, I think that can be really helpful to just be like, put all the bullshit away about wondering about which thing to work on or what to do. You just know that you and your friend are both doing it at the same time at this day and like either in person or on Zoom. And that I think can be really helpful to just be like, stop. I do all the paralyzing like options thing, you know, that really fucks with me. And so I think anytime I've had the thing where I like meet up with somebody, it just helps so much because you stop.
Holds you accountable. Questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and also for her too, I just want to acknowledge a couple of things. You're an actor who makes a living as an actor. That's fucking huge. You weren't amazing at that overnight, which means you have done something creative that took time to get there. And like, I think it's hard also once you have achieved that with something creative, then you're like, well, then I should get to the next one just as like twice as fast.
Right.
And it's like, no, like these things, they're a craft. They take a long time to get there. Also, at least for me, financial insecurity is a paralyzing thing that does make it difficult to get things done. So like we are in a strike where like you are not working. Your main source of income is, you know, dried up for who fucking knows when these assholes are going to come back to make a fucking deal. So it's like you make sure you're giving yourself space to also like not be hard on yourself because this is like a traumatizing time too. I mean,
totally.
Yeah. When I've been like broke, poor, like I'm at my least creative because it's like you're just like, how are my bills getting paid? What's happening next? Mm-hmm. That's where your brain is. And that's like, it's hard to find the space to be like, let's just sit and paint a lake. It's like, those are two different mindsets.
It is. And by the way, I feel like if you're in that situation where you literally are like, where is my Mike Sneal coming from?
Yeah.
That is probably the issue you need to be focusing all of your energy on. And I think that when you're a creative person and it sucks, because we all just want to be like writing our novels and painting our things. But like, if you can't get dinner, that is going to have to be your priority until you get that figured out. And like, give yourself permission to focus on making money and not feel like you're neglecting your craft or neglecting your creativity. Like, and hopefully you're going to make that money in a way that is creative and satisfying to you. But like, don't feel like you need to be spinning the plate of surviving financially while also coming up, you know, with the next great epic poem at the same fucking time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are not our output. We are so much more.
So true.
And also, like, I will say, Bevan sent us amazing stickers that we opened on our 24-hour thing. And so we've seen
your
creativity
art
physically has turned into, and it's great. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So just to encourage you and let you know that like we love what you've done, at least like for us in our sphere. So thank you for that and being dope.
Absolutely. You got this, girl.
And yay. The audience goes, aww.
A round of applause for our podcast. Thank you. Everybody, landing the plane. Are, yes, we're landing the plane. Seatbacks, tray tables.
Airplane mode on.
Yes. Yeah. Becca, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Let everyone know where they can follow you online, on your TikTok, all that fun stuff.
You can follow me on TikTok at Actress Beck, my AIM username, or Instagram, just my name, Becca Bastos, and everywhere else, just Becca Bastos.
Sweet. And thank you, everybody. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3. 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
So I'm listening to Stephanie Tanner Time. Also, you guys are amazing, but we're talking about proposal, and my husband only talked to my father about proposing to me, and him and my father were the only ones that knew. And it was actually really sweet because I am really close with my dad. And so when I found out that him and my dad were the only two in on the secret, it definitely bonded them a lot closer. And it was just funny because most of the time, like nowadays, we don't involve the parents, and which is totally fine, but him and my dad felt super sneaky about it, and it was funny. They were in shenanigans. All right, thanks. Love ya. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is the caller who called in a few weeks ago about my coworker trying to plan their wedding the week before mine. Well, just got an update from my sister who just got engaged. She's also trying to plan her wedding a month before mine as well. My life is ruined. Goodbye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.